823, David Yepsen, director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute, is joining us this morning. First off, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
And second, how do you define what's going on in Springfield? Now, I've been defining it as a showdown. Something more articulate for
you? I think that's true. Both sides have got to play to their base here. They've got to keep their core voters happy. So that means they have to, for Democrats, they have to vote for a budget the Republicans don't like. That could very well mean the governor has to veto it when it comes down to him, if they get it there. There'll be an attempt to override. And then they'll start getting serious. We've talked a lot from time to time, Tom, about redistricting in this state. The problem that occurs here now is when you have politicians who gerrymander their own districts, they don't have to worry about working across party lines. They have to worry about keeping their base happy. And so they draw their own district. If you're a Republican, you got to keep the conservatives happy. If you're a Democrat, you got to keep the left happy. And there's nowhere in there that the compromise occurs.
So deeply polarized that you can't function?
That's right. That's right. You can't. I mean, Tom, people run for office saying, "I'll go to Springfield and fight for you." People don't run for office saying, "I'll go to Springfield and compromise for you." And so we are where we are. Now, this, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn. This happens in the legislative process. It's not pretty. But they'll have to go through these little dances or rituals until they get to a point where they start making some compromises. And Tom, you're already seeing some movement. I mean, the governor has dropped some of the things he's been talking about.
I noticed that yesterday in the press releases, how that went from about four or five things to like one, workman's comp.
Sure. So it's coming.
But even the one didn't get out of Senate committee yesterday. I mean, make sure, Senate committee rejected the Governor Rauner's worker compensation reform yesterday. So he pared it down and still didn't see any forward movement.
And nothing's going to move on that until they get a whole package. I mean, Democrats aren't going to give up on that until they see what they're going to get back in return. Earlier on in the session, there were some signals that Democrats might be willing to work something out on workers' compensation. But Rauner has
now
so
not
upset.
Even out of committee.
No, I mean, now the labor movement is very unhappy with a lot of things the governor has done, and so Democrats aren't in the mood to compromise.
All right, let's talk about this moment ago when you talked about playing to your base. What about if your base is the promises that were made in the last election cycle by Republicans about how we're going to get this under control, and specifically the governor? Yet nothing seems to be done in the area of fiscal responsibility. We talk about it. Everybody's in a tizzy. But when it comes to meaningful change financially and seeing a plan to get us out of this enormous debt, you don't see it. And promises were made.
Well, that's it. We've got a split control legislature. The governor made promises. Democratic legislators have made promises to their constituency groups, and some of them are not compatible. The ultimate shape that I see this thing coming together on will be, number one, there will be cuts. Illinois has lived beyond its means, and that's going to be cuts in state spending are going to be a requirement for getting particularly Republicans, but for getting a lot of citizens to support this. Families have had to make cuts. People expect state government to do the same thing. Then there's going to be some revenue increases. The one I think is most likely at this point is expanding the base of the sales tax. Indiana has a much broader sales tax base. It's a tax that's paid in pennies, and that could get them some additional revenue. And then I think the governor is going to have to get some kind of structural reform somewhere. He's talked a lot about this turnaround agenda, and a lot of this stuff is unacceptable to Democrats. But nevertheless, you've got to change the way the state has done business, structural reforms, the way you run schools, the way you run townships.
But see, those promises have been made, and laws have been enacted. 2005 or 2008, school raises for superintendents, administrators. There was a law, if it goes over a certain percentage, you have to pay a fine. In 2014, according to the Chicago Tribune article published over the weekend, the state of Illinois paid $38 million in fines on the amount of money that they went over the limit in giving people raises in administrative positions so that their pensions were higher whenever they retired. $38 million in fine. Who paid that fine? The taxpayers.
Right.
And you've promised, you know, they've promised changes, but every time you turn around, there's no evidence of change other than kids getting shortchanged. The big money is still making the big money.
Well, or in the case of the pension things, you can pass laws, but people do find ways to game the system.
Yes.
It's legal. All right.
It is. It's legal as long as you pay the fine.
It may not be unethical. And for some departments or school districts that were at the time trying to sweeten the pot for a valued employee, they find ways around that. And that's why people get upset and alienated with state government.
And disenfranchised, and David Yepsen says they don't vote afterwards.
That's right. They're angry. Voter turnout's very low.
They are angry, but they're not the only ones angry. From the House floor yesterday, House representatives, pretty straight-ahead stuff. And I think when you look at that and the phraseology that he chose to use, the family we make this X amount of money, and that's how much we can spend. They look in Springfield, and they go $3 billion more.
Right, and if Democrats want to spend additional revenue on a lot of good things in Illinois, services people enjoy, they're going to have to come up with some more revenue. And in order to get the governor to go along with additional revenues, higher taxes on somebody, he's got to get some things in his turnaround agenda. It's a one hand washes the other, Tom, and that's the way the process works. It's not very pretty, but at this point we're not at the stage where the two sides are willing to give the other enough of what they need to reach a compromise. But they're getting there.
The other side of the aisle.
That's what this boils down to, your inability to do the right thing. Recognize that. You can talk about us all you want. That's fine. That's fine. But this is the side of the aisle that's lifting up children in the state of Illinois. We're all willing to put that burden on our shoulders.
That's a reference to the Democratic budget, which was proposed over the weekend, at least we learned about over the weekend, which includes $250 million more for education. Sans the $38 million they'll have to pay in fines for giving the raises. it gives you perspective, I think, though.
Right? What you've just heard are two sound clips, Tom, that are pretty articulate explanations of what the two parties believe, and they believe it very passionately. So until you can get those two points of view working together, we're not solving that problem yet. And it's a heavy lift, because you're asking Democrats to make cuts in things. You're asking Republicans to raise some additional revenues. That's very hard to do. And we're not quite there yet.
But you look at the polling that your institute, the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute, has done. And you and I have talked about this more than once. The fact that we saw tax increases and didn't see any benefits from that left an incredible sour taste in people's mouths right. When it comes to prospect of paying taxes. Unless, of course, you're on the ballot voting for whether millionaires should pay more, which is an interesting thing in and of itself. But people did see a tax increase, and it turns out it was the second highest increase in intake for state government behind North Dakota at 22.5%. The average national average was like 3.5 for increase in revenue for the state. Mm-hmm. Ours was 22, I think, 22.5, and we're still in trouble. And that I don't think that mark has left people's consciousness when they're thinking about Springfield.
No, they're very upset about it, and who can blame them? I mean, you mentioned our polling, the mistrust that people have in Illinois is as deep here as it is anywhere. The state, as we all know, is in some of the worst financial shape of any state in the country. But our regard for political leaders is also at an all-time low. I mean, the governor of Ohio is getting ready to announce his candidacy for president, John Kasich. His job approval rating at one point was something like 70%.
Right.
I mean, when was the last time we had a governor in Illinois who was that popular?
Okay.
So people just hold public officials in such low regard, it's very difficult for those officials to come by and say, hey, vote for me, I want to do some tough things, that people say, yeah, right, yeah, sure. Well, the reality is we're going to have to get to that point somehow, and the only route I see is a combination of some cuts, some additional revenues, and trying to keep promises to people. If you're going to come up with some new revenues, for example, voters, I think, are going to have to see that some of it is going to pay bills on time, and some of it is going to go to pay back the pension debt. You know, we talked about pensions for a long time, and I had said, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but as I read the Constitution, you can't mess around with this. Well, lo and behold, the Supreme Court said yes. And so we've wasted over a year arguing about a pension reform bill that was unconstitutional.
Two.
Yeah, almost two. And so we are where we are, and people have got to start to come together. This is Hamburger Day, I heard you say.
Yeah.
Well, think of the legislative process, Tom, as cooking a bowl of chili. You throw a lot of hot ingredients into the pot, seasoning, salt, lots of the, and you let it simmer for a while. And you let it simmer, and you let it simmer, and you taste it. And eventually, it gets something that tastes pretty good, and that pot of chili then will go pretty fast. And that's what we're doing in the legislature, is trying to get to that point.
Will we eat chili on Monday morning?
No. I don't think it can get done that quickly. I mean, they can move pretty fast. That tax increase you referenced was done
in
just a few hours. But that's after you reach a critical mass. And I don't think that they've reached a point where they're willing to sit down and work together. They've got to go through these little games playing to their base first.
You know, it's interesting because when you talk about revenues, increasing revenues in Illinois, it's the size of the debt, billions of dollars. You can't cut your way out of this alone. You can't. And I'd like to say that you can, but I'd be intellectually dishonest on my part.
Right. And most people, the polling you talked about, we find more and more people in Illinois are coming to the conclusion it's going to take both cuts and revenue increases. But, Tom, there's some simple things the legislature could do. They could say, we're going to raise the sales tax, but expand the base of the sales tax. But some of this revenue is going to be earmarked to pay pension bills. Or some of this money is going to be earmarked to pay bills on time.
They said that last time.
They didn't earmark it.
They didn't earmark it.
And
promised.
So you can say to the state controller, you see this money coming in, a certain percentage of it is going to go to pay bills.
Right.
That can be in the statute.
You know, it's interesting when you take a look at this. I was talking with John Bradley earlier in the week, and I was hoping you were here in the interview because I said, you know, when did things fall apart? When did things really go south? Was it the governor's speech in front of the Chicago City Council, where he said, you don't get what you need until Illinois gets what it needs.
Right.
And then he ran down his pro-business agenda. And John said, no, it was the Good Friday whenever they made the social services cuts.
Yeah.
Because we gave them the money to not do that, and they did it anyway. And then I remember there's a rule, or at least there used to be in the state of Illinois. First off, politicians lie to voters. Or misrepresent the facts or make promises that can't be, however you want to construe that statement. But politicians aren't supposed to lie to each other.
That's right.
It's okay to the general public to misrep, but you're not supposed to lie to each other. If you say you're going to vote for X bill for about puppies and whether they're taken care of in extreme conditions, and you've told somebody you're going to do it in the legislature, you better do it. And the governor's office said, look, you give us this control and these programs will be funded. Then he didn't do it. And I think that cardinal rule was busted. And as a result, there's a loss in the relationship rather early on when it comes to trust.
Yeah.
Because we gave you the money, we gave you the right, we gave you the legislation, the thing you asked for, and you didn't do what you told us you were going to do.
And Representative Bradley is right. A lot of Democrats felt double-crossed by this. It was the Rauner administration has admitted, some of his staffers have admitted that was not handled very well.
Yeah, failure of communications.
Well, it's a new administration, but you got a lot of smart people working for you, and you're paying them a lot of money. That was a huge mistake. And now the two sides have to go back to the square one. They have to go back to their base. A lot of Democratic groups were furious about that. So legislators just can't roll over. Democratic legislators just can't roll over now and make a bunch of cuts. They've got to go back and prove to their constituencies that they're in Springfield fighting for them. Bruce Rauner has got to go back to his constituencies and prove that he's trying to change the way we do business in this state. And they're going to have to come to some compromise. It could take a while.
Was the governor outmaneuvered?
No,
is it too early to tell?
I think it's the game isn't over with yet. All right, so I think a lot of it has to do with some startup problems. Okay, he's got a new administration, a new team. Some of the messaging, I have never understood why he reached out and has smacked the labor movement as hard as he did. The only logical explanation I can think of is that that's just good red meat for a lot of conservative Republican
business
types.
Or he did that based on math.
Well, but
some people do that because, look, why can't I go after the labor unions? They're only 6%.
The labor movement is a huge part of the culture in Illinois. And even if people aren't members of unions, it's just a political reality, whether you like it or not. And we didn't hear much talk about right-to-work law changes in the campaign. So when he brings it up, is it, where did this come from? So I think there was some messaging. He believes it. He thinks he has to lead. He wants to change public opinion. I understand that. And in time, maybe we'll have that debate. But I think right now I can see some early gaffes and flubs. Part of a new governor, a new team coming into office, they're bound to make some mistakes, and the Democrats pounced on them.
Yeah. David, I'm great you had come in. I know you got to get going because I got to get you to a meeting that I promised and when you made the commitment to come over and join us. I wish I had more time. But it looks as though we will have more time to talk about this because the governor, point blank, and this may be he made his move on the chessboard and it's not reality yet when he said it's going to be a very long summer for legislators.
Right.
So when you look at your statement, the game's not over yet, maybe that play that was made 2 weeks ago is about to come into play starting Monday.
That's right. Well, we could be talking about this all summer.
I almost expect some half of the legislature to say, we're going in Ohio and we're going to stay at a hotel and you can't make us go because you can't find us.
That's been tried.
It's been tried. Actually tried during the Civil War in Illinois.
Is that right?
Yeah. They fled to Canada.
I hope we haven't gotten to that point.
I hope we have not gotten to that point either. They're fleeing someplace, but hopefully not Canada. At least you'll keep the money in the country. Hey, David, as always, a privilege, sir.
Thank you, Tom.
839.